You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by, a rather unique individual, someone who's different than our regular host programs on interviewees on our program. But Joel Kilpatrick is the founder of Lark News, a Christian news site, but with a little bit of a twist. So, Joel, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. All I can say is I'm angry that you haven't had me on before.
Yes, well, it takes time. We have a long docket of names we got to get here on the program. But tell us a little bit about Lark News and how you got started.
Wow, Lark News. I started in 2003. I had the idea in 2001. I was a journalist, a Christian reporter for a number of magazines, including Christianity Today, Charisma, and then denominational magazines. And I was just at churches and other countries all the time reporting on Christian stuff, but I'd always had this satirical streak, had written humor in college, didn't know I was any good at it, just knew that I enjoyed it, and then just felt the prodding of the Lord as best I can tell. He just put it on my heart to write a satirical newsletter aimed at Christians, and I didn't want to do that at all. But he kept bugging me. So finally, I just thought, well, I'm going to do this and let it fail, and then I'll move on. And I decided to do it on the internet rather than printing it, just because it was so much cheaper, and my brother was a web designer. So wrote a few stories, fake news, but it's, I would call it funny and also plausible. So a lot of the stories, you don't know if they're real or not. And I put it up on the internet, and without any advertisement at all, it just went crazy. And pretty soon, you know, 1 million people a year were looking at it, and it won a Dove Award for humor, and I was profiled in all these different places. I mean, little did I know that this little kind of side hobby that I had started would sort of consume the rest of my career.
It is kind of interesting. You know, we don't talk too much about satire within the Christian community and humor, although what you hear is bad preacher jokes every once in a while. Your role really provides a completely different perspective. And yet, I'm sure you've faced a hail of bullets in doing what you do because of people that don't understand sarcasm. So kind of give us a little bit of an insight as to what's resulted from creating Lark News and what it's been like for the past several years.
Well, let me give you a little bit of a difference of how I see it. Satire to me is a form of truth telling, and it's a form of love, but it has no anger in it. I think that's what people get hung up on. Sarcasm, that is usually angry. I think of that as, you know, a word that depicts somebody who's sort of offended or bitter on the inside. Satire is a completely different thing. It's a way of seeing the truth through humor. It's just, you know, humor itself has truth in it, even when you're not trying. So the best humor has no anger in it. It has no axe to grind. It's just making fun of people, and that's a wonderful thing. I mean, it feels good. That's why we have roasts, you know, and roast celebrities and people like that. And so I always make sure when I'm writing the stories, first of all, that I don't have too much of a point, as far as I'm not trying to make some point or get some viewpoint across.
You don't have an axe to grind.
No, because people detect that. I detect it, and it makes it just not funny. You know, to me, humor standing, you know, on its own, it's worthy of standing alone and speaking the truth in the way that it does without trying to force or shoehorn some type of agenda into it. So if I have an agenda, I set that story aside, and I just don't do it. Typically, I just have no agenda at all except laughs, you know. I would just want people to have a good time. But I've also seen the Lord use it in ways I didn't expect. I mean, when I first started, you're right, I had a mixed reaction. There were some people who were really, really upset. They just couldn't believe. They thought I was trying to make fools of people or trick them or make them believe, you know, make them feel gullible. Which I wasn't. And then there were other people that surprised me just as much, and they said they were pastors and very, you know, active lay people, missionaries, and they wrote and said, "We have been waiting for something like this forever." They said, "Just reading your site makes me feel like I can go on in ministry." And I was shocked. I couldn't believe that there was such a thirst for the release and the perspective that humor and satire bring, you know, beyond just, you know, the bulletin funnies type of stuff, right? Which is really not that funny, I mean, if we admit it. So people were looking for this sort of higher level, just some of the best humor that catches you off and surprises you. And I was very just flattered and humbled to be able to provide some of that. I was glad that people took it in the right way.
Now, throughout the years, you've written on some topics that have gotten you into some hot water. You wrote a little thing about Bob the Tomato from VeggieTales that got a bit of got you into some publicity. Sometimes people take what you are writing to be more serious. Do you try to write so much over the top so that if people are taking you seriously, they're going to look pretty silly by republishing it?
I don't try to make people look silly, but it depends on the article. I mean, there's different approaches. Sometimes it's funny just to be, like you say, over the top or outrageous or something. Not vulgar or anything, but just, you know, obviously not real. Other times it's fun to write about maybe a trend in the church that isn't real, but is plausible, you know, if you want to say it that way. And those articles, I think, are even more fun because people sit there and go, is this actual? And if it's not real, they go, by golly, it could be, you know.
It is kind of funny to see, you know, some of the satire, especially when it comes to the politics and, you know, the secular satire company like The Onion, who posts about the politics. And it's almost as if a lot of those things are becoming true in this political race. Is it possible that satire then becomes a commentary on our culture?
Oh, yeah, of course. In fact, I felt from the very beginning in 2003 that humor, art generally, but also satire, is prophetic. And not to be too mystical about it, but God puts truth in our humor and we speak it to each other. And then eventually the culture catches up, so to speak. So there are a number of stories that I've written that I would say even at this point, and especially in 5 or 10 years, they would not be considered humor anymore because they were outrageous at the time, but now they're not. And so you sort of have to keep up. Humor is always in the moment, you know. But yeah, it's definitely a commentary. But again, I'm not trying to comment. I never make it commentary. I just try to make it funny. If it speaks to people, well, that's great.
It's not intentional commentary, but it's always at least in part a bit, you know, commentarial of what is happening in our culture today. Is it possible that part of the negative reactions you face is because we as Christians typically are so inculcated into our own environment that we need an outsider's perspective in a ways to see some of the silly things that we actually do on a regular basis?
Yeah, just like you said, we need times to not take ourselves. I mean, I hate to use the phrase, but it's really true. I think that's what the feasts were about in the Old Testament. You know, they were, in fact, God commanded that they come together and have these times of joy. And you cannot convince me that hundreds of thousands of Jewish people got together and there wasn't a comedy night, you know, or at least informally people, you know, doing that. So it's impossible to think of having joy without having laughter and humor. And if we don't do it, you know, part of it is a fear of mocking things that are sacred. But, you know, there's an early church father, Tertullian, and I'm not a huge intellectual, but I was reading his work a couple of years ago, and he said something that caught me way off guard. This is, I think, back in you can correct me, but the 3rd or the 4th century, he says, the cross of Christ is credible because it is absurd. And I find a lot of truth in that. I think not one single human alive would have invented the way God did things, invented the process that God used even to offer us salvation. It's outrageous beyond anything that we could come up with. I would even say it's sacrilegious in a way. And I find a lot of humor, even in Jesus going to the cross, believe it or not. You know, he gets up from Gethsemane and says almost jovially, "Arise, here comes my accuser, you know, or here comes my betrayer. Let's go to meet him." Like, oh, what fun. What a great day this is going to be, guys, you know. Let's get out of bed early and get it started. And I just think that's the way that the Lord works. I mean, it's impossible that we are funnier than God, don't you think?
Yeah, it's so interesting to see, you know, someone who knows exactly what's going to happen, and he has it all planned out, and these disciples who are following him looking like complete idiots and trying to impress him or one-up him in whatever ways. You can't read through the story of the Gospels without chuckling a little bit and realizing that we're just as silly. We pretty much just are.
Yeah, yeah. In England, they call it taking the mick out of each other, and it's just a great thing to do. As long as you love, and so what humor does is forces us to have a lot of love, because if you're joking with people, even when you're tired, you come home and you know you make a stray joke, and you just don't have your love tank so full, that thing is going to come across as hurtful. So I find that I earn the ability to write satire and be funny by having an equal or a greater measure of love toward the people that I'm writing about. If I don't love them, I don't write about them.
That's really wise, I think, and also pretty funny, to be honest. We've been talking with Joel Kilpatrick, who's the founder of Lark News. Perhaps you've seen it in your Facebook feed, and perhaps you've clicked on it because you said, "This can't possibly be true." And, well, it might only be halfway true. We've been talking with Joel Kilpatrick. Thank you, Joel. Thank you so much for being a part of our program.
I've decided, just from our little conversation together, Adam, that I love you.
I love you, too.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a great privilege. We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.